How many of you tonight came desiring to hear from the Lord? Let's see your hands. How many of you came tonight desiring to preach the message? Yeah, I wouldn't have expected most of you to raise your hands, maybe a few, right? How many of you came tonight desiring to be filled up and refreshed and renewed? I mean, that would fall into hearing from the Lord, right? And thank you for participating with me. Just keep it up. I'm going to keep asking questions. How many of you tonight came wanting to be used, desiring to be used in a word of wisdom? Specifically a word of wisdom. There's some hands. How about a word of knowledge? How about gifts of miracles? A few hands. How about tongues and interpretations? How about gifts of healings? Go with me, if you would, over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I ask these questions because you'll see as I read some scriptures tonight, and we talk about desire, but in particular, desiring to be used of the Lord in the gifts of the Spirit that He has given to His body. And I don't know how far we'll get into this. I don't know if this is a one-off sermon or if this is going to be the beginning of a series. We're going to start in chapter 12. We may get through chapter 14, or we might just go through 13. Who knows? But the Lord. So let's start in verse 1 of chapter 12. Now, before I begin reading, I should lay a little bit of context. This church in the city of Corinth was a church that was passionate for the Lord. They were very much involved in the works of the Lord, but they were a wild bunch. I mean, their seatbelts were not on, right? They were out and loose. And then there was also some problems because they had sin in the church. I mean, in chapter 5, you'll see how there was a guy was sleeping with his dad's wife, and the church was proud of the fact that they were tolerant of it. And so Paul really gave them the what for on that and how to deal with it. Of course, the goal of it was to restore that one back to the Lord. And if you read the whole thing in context, chapters 5 and 6, you'll see that. But my point in saying all of that is to say that in chapter 1, it tells us, in verse 7, it says, you do not lack any spiritual gifts. As he's introducing to the church this letter, he's saying, you guys don't come behind anybody in these spiritual gifts. You're second to no one. Like, these spiritual gifts are happening in your body, and I can guarantee you it wasn't because they lived such a holy, sanctified life. Because go read chapter 5. I mean, there's pride and fornication and adultery all happening at once. And so, sometimes I think we have taken this attitude that once we get all our ducks in a row and we are living all right, right? We get everything lined up just right, then the Lord could use us. If that's what the Lord relied on to be able to minister to His people, no man could minister. Not me, not you, no one. Because all of us are human. That's the problem with ministers. They're just like you, right? They are especially anointed to teach the Word. They're not especially anointed or specially anointed to live it. They have to, just like you, live it by faith. There's an anointing to teach it. And so here we see that they, in chapter 1, it says that they didn't lack any spiritual gifts. So these gifts came to them not because they were so upright, but it had to be some other things that were opening the doorway for the Lord to move through them in the gifts of the Spirit. Now, here's another problem that Jen actually touched on this in the offering, is that people have this idea that, well, I'll be rich if God wants me to be rich, not realizing, no, I have a part to play in it. Well, people take the same attitude with the gifts of the Spirit. They go, well, you know, there's the verse that says that He works them as He wills. It's according to His will, not as mine. And that's correct. However, so we just put it all off on God and say, well, it's up to Him. He has to, you know, if he wants to move through me that way, he will. No, he won't. There are things and conditions that you have to do to put yourself in a position to be used. Let me make it simple for you this way. Back when I was playing softball, I would show up and I would get ready and I would be prepared to play the game. Guess who didn't start the game? The people that weren't prepared and weren't there. Right? I wasn't the best player, but I would often get to play simply because I was there, prepared, and available. Right? So the conditions are we have to be available. We have to want it. You know, I wouldn't have showed up early and put in the practice time if I didn't want to play. Like, coach, put me in. And so in the same way, are we showing up? Do we want to play? I mean, this isn't a game, but I'm using the metaphor of softball, right, of sports. Do we want what the Lord wants? You know, in Psalms 37, it says that if we delight in the Lord, He'll give us the desires of our heart. Not only will He place the desire in your heart, but then He'll grant the desire to you. And so our part in this is to draw near to Him and allow His desires to get off on us. And then those desires will well up on the inside of us. That's where faith is going to come from. And then we'll walk in some of these supernatural things. All right, chapter 12, 1 Corinthians, and verse 1. Paul says, "Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be unaware." Now, really, a direct translation would not, the word gifts isn't there, it's spiritual matters or spiritual things. In regards to spiritual things, I don't want you to be unaware. The first thing that we want to notice here, notice they are called spiritual, it's a spiritual matter. It's not a natural matter. The whole list, the gifts of the Spirit that he's going to go through, they are not natural things. A word of a wisdom doesn't mean, oh, it's someone that's just wise. You know, a word of knowledge isn't, well, that's a professor, a teacher at a school. You know, they have a lot of knowledge. It's not a natural thing like that. Just like tongues and interpretations is not talking about known languages and interpreters. That's all natural. Gifts of healing is not talking about doctors and nurses. Natural. Because, just go with me for a little bit, if those things are natural things and that's what he's talking about, then what are we going to do with the working of miracles and special faith? Right? Those are clearly supernatural. Those are spiritual things, not natural things. So they're all spiritual, all of them. None of them are just natural things. And so they are spiritual matters. Now, concerning spiritual matters, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be unaware. You know that when you were pagans, you used to be enticed and led astray by mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God, so think no one speaking inspired words, okay? It's inspired by the Spirit of God. No one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. We could say it this way. No one can say Jesus is Lord and mean it except by the Holy Spirit. I mean, we could teach a parrot to say Jesus is Lord and it's just a parrot. It's parroting what it heard, right? But it doesn't actually believe it or mean it. Verse 4, now there are different gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different ministries, but the same Lord. Now, he is getting ready to teach and give direction on the use of the gifts of the Spirit. And he mentions ministries here. And in Ephesians, you find the fivefold ministry gifts and how that these are, they're part of the gifts that God has given. So he just mentions these as he's going through it. And then in verse 6, he says, and there are different workings or different activities, but the same God works all of them in each person. Say all.
All.
The same God works all of them. All of them in who? In each person. Each person. So It's not just the special chosen few that can operate and function in the gifts of the Spirit. It's each person. God works all the gifts in each person. So it's all possible. Furthermore, before I go any further, let's jump all the way to the end of the chapter, verse 31. He says, earnestly desire the greater gifts. And he just got done naming a whole bunch of gifts and the gifts of the Spirit. Earnestly desire them. Look over at chapter 14, verse 1. Pursue love and earnestly desire spiritual gifts. There he's telling us to desire it again. Go all the way to the end of chapter 14, and you see in verse 39, so then, my brothers and sisters, be eager to desire prophecy and do not forbid speaking in tongues. Here we see that we are told to desire something. Desire the gifts of the Spirit. Desire the greater gifts. Desire, pursue love, and desire the gifts. Well, now, would it be right for Paul or for the Holy Spirit through Paul to tell us to desire something that we can't have? That it's not for you, but you should still want it. No, that's not how any of this works. And so my questions that I was asking to you in the beginning is, did you come desiring to be used in these ways? Because if we didn't come desiring to be used in these ways, well, it's very, very extremely probable you will not be used in those ways. All right? So the first step is we have to desire. We have to want. We have to really want it. You know, years and years and years ago, there was a man called Socrates, and he had a young man came to he was a philosopher, right? And a young man comes to him and says, hey, he says, I would like to be successful like you are. Could you teach me to be successful? And so Socrates says, sure, come with me. And so he leads them out to the beach, and they walk out into the water, up into about waist-deep water, and he takes hold of the young man and dunks him underneath the water and holds him there. Of course, the young man stays there for a little bit, thinking he's surely going to bring me back up. But once he figures out that he's not going to bring me up before my lungs need air, he begins to struggle, and so Socrates lets him go. He stands up, and only to see Socrates walk out of the water and disappear into town. I'm like, well, what was that about? That was a weird way to teach me to be successful. But, you know the saying, curiosity killed the cat. You know the rest of that saying, right? Satisfaction brought him back. Anyhow, so he, after a couple of days, he's like, well, I still would like to know and have him teach me to be successful. So he goes back to Socrates and says, hey, I still want to know how to become successful like you. Would you teach me? And he's like, sure, come with me. Once again, leads him out into the water, waist deep. This time the young man knows what's coming. He takes his biggest breath thinking that I'll last this time, right? Last time I just didn't have enough air. That was where I messed up. So he takes his biggest breath and he holds him under the water and he holds him there until he runs out of air and begins to struggle. And he struggles and finally he releases him and lets him up. And once again, Socrates just walks away. Well, this young man, he's a little bit frustrated at this point. He's like, what in the world? How is this teaching me anything? And so now he lets several weeks go by before he comes back to Socrates and once again says, I'm still trying to learn to be successful. Could you teach me? Socrates says, sure, come with me. And he leads him out to the beach and out into the water, waist deep. Young man knows what's coming. He grabs him, holds him under the water. But this time when he's struggling to get loose and come up for air, he doesn't let him up. He just keeps holding him. So the struggle becomes more desperate and more violent. And the guy's thrashing around. And finally he breaks free and stands up. And he's like, what are you trying to do? Kill me? And Socrates looks at him and says, when you desire success as much as you desire air, you'll find it. How can we apply that to right here? Desire earnestly. Desire earnestly the better gifts. Desire earnestly spiritual gifts. If what do you greatly desire in your life? I mean, natural things. You know, things that you put forth great effort for. Now, I give you an example of one. Your bills being paid, or at least most of you, desire that, right? How do I know that? Because you put forth a great deal of effort of going out and getting a job and working to make funds. You spend a whole lot of your life making money to be able to pay those bills and to be able to eat and to buy things. So you desire those things. We can just tell based on your actions, right? So what are you desiring when it comes to spiritual things? Is it a wish? Are we just being wishful and saying, well, Lord, you know, use me if you see fit? Maybe leave the see fit off of it and just use me, Lord. I'm here. I'm available. Put me in, coach. All right, verse 7. So in verse 6, he talks about God works all of them in each person. Verse 7, chapter 12. A manifestation of the Spirit is given to each person. Say each person. Does that leave anyone out? Well, at least it doesn't leave anyone out that's not, I mean, only those that are born again. Let's say it that way, right? God works all of them in each person. A manifestation of the Spirit, or an exhibition, or a bestowment is the word, is of the Spirit is given to each person, and here's the purpose, for the common good. The gifts of the Spirit that flow, that we're going to read here, they are to for the good of everyone, for the good of the body. That doesn't mean that you can't ever experience a gift of the Spirit in your life and operation when no one's around. But the point is the Lord is looking to build up His people with His gifts through you. It's for the common good. It's not going to draw attention to you. If it does, you're doing it wrong. It's not for your glory. All the gifts will always exalt Jesus. Verse 8. To one is given a word of wisdom through the Spirit. Not a gift of wisdom, a word of wisdom. A word of wisdom. This isn't just someone who's, oh, they've been given, I have the gift of wisdom now. Well, maybe you do, but it's not this gift, right? This gift is a word. It's a word of wisdom, or you could say a sentence. You know, you don't need, when you Google a question, you don't need to know everything Google knows, right? It'd be a little bit overwhelming. What you need is a specific word on the question you have. Or if you call your lawyer, you don't need to know everything the lawyer knows and all the codes and all the laws and all the loopholes and all. No, you don't need to know that. You need to know the answer to the question you have, right? So it's a word of wisdom. Which verse were we in here? Verse 8, a word of wisdom, and a word of wisdom has to do with the plan and will of God. And generally, it's going to always have to do with future events or what you should do, how you should enter into or walk out the plan and will of God. A word of wisdom. To another, still in verse 8, to another, a word of knowledge. It's the same way here, a word of knowledge by the same Spirit. The word of knowledge is typically going to be their facts in the mind of God about either past, present, or future events, but they're facts. It's not necessarily the will of God, it's just facts. This is the facts. And that can look in many different ways. I know many of you have experienced words of wisdom and words of knowledge that have come to you and you've known things. You know, I have known people's names that walked up to me, complete strangers, never met the person before, knew their name before they ever introduced themselves. That's a word of knowledge. Things like that. What was interesting on that individual, I had the word of knowledge on his name, and I said his name from across the room. He was walking my direction. I said, oh, you must be, and I said his name, called his name out. Like, yeah, how did you know that? And I just smiled and said, I just know. And so then, you know, there's no need to make it sound all hokey-pokey to him, you know. I just know. Well, then later we were in a church service, and then later that day, the Lord, I was sitting beside him, and the Lord gave me a word of wisdom for him. And so I ministered it to him, and we had a short break. People just greeting each other and saying hello to each other, and we sat right back down. I stood beside him the entire time, so he knew that I didn't go and tell anyone what I had just told him. And I'd told it to him quietly. And then Apostle Dale gets up and gives this prophecy, this word that the Lord gave him. And it was like word for word what I had just told the guy. And it was like a confirmation right there on the spot. One of the things you'll find is many times the gifts of the Spirit will come in like two. Often where you see one, you'll see another. like they follow each other. You know when you pull that thread on your sleeve that you shouldn't pull, and then it just keeps coming and more, pretty soon you have a sleeveless shirt. You have the right to keep and bear arms. That's what that is. That wasn't any good, Jacob. If you're guests here, it does get better. Not the jokes, but... All right, a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Verse 9, to another, faith by the same Spirit. And this is really giving the idea it's a special faith. It's a special endowment of faith. It's not normal, everyday, common faith that's given to every man. Jesus is that common faith that's given to all, right? But this is a special faith for a moment. Have you ever been in a situation where you just suddenly had faith for this situation? You just knew. That's a special faith. A lot of times also, you'll receive special faith in moments where you need protection, where it'll just suddenly you have it on the inside. A special faith by that same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings. Now, this is plural. And some modern translations don't have it plural, but that's how it was written. Gifts of healings. And why are there gifts of healings? Well, it's interesting when it's pretty obvious when you look at people that have healing ministries, how that they're used of the Lord to heal in one thing or several things, but not in all things. You know, people have really good success being healed from asthma in their ministry, but maybe not in something else. And so there's gifts of healings that are given. By how? That one Spirit. Verse 10, to another, the working or the performing of miracles. Miracles. So that's when the laws of nature are suspended and superseded by spiritual laws. Like when Peter walked on the water. Laws of nature were suspended and he walks on water. To another, prophecy. Now this is a broad term and it doesn't mean just foretelling future, but it's meaning utterance inspired by the Lord. Utterance inspired by the Lord. Prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. Discerning means seeing. Okay, seeing clearly of spirit. Seeing in the spirit realm is how we might say it. To another, different kinds of tongues. And to another, interpretation of tongues. One and the same Spirit is active in all these, distributing to each person, there it is again, each person, as He wills. And there's that part. As the Lord wills. We cannot on our own squeeze out any of these. You can't squeeze out a miracle or a special faith or a word of knowledge. Oh, you can guess, but I mean, you're going to be wrong more than you're right. Right? So you can't squeeze any of those things out. It's as the Lord wills, but we still have to show up ready for the game, practice playing. Here we are, Lord. I want to play, Lord. I want to be used by you, Lord. Lord, I want to bless your people. Use me in that way. Verse 12, for just as the body is one and has many parts, and all the parts of that body, though many, are one body, so also is Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slave or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink. Indeed, the body is not one part, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it is not for that reason any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an ear, I don't belong to the body, it is not for that reason any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God, everyone say God, God has arranged each one of the parts in the body just as He wanted. Are you one of the parts of the body? So God has arranged each of the parts in the body as He wanted, not as the body part wanted. The body part doesn't arrange itself, right? This is why it's important that you need to check in with the Lord and say, Lord, where do you want me arranged? What church am I supposed to be hooked up to? And He'll show that to you and then hook up there and operate as is pleasing to the Lord. In verse 19, in 19, it says, and if they were all the same part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, or again, the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that are weaker are indispensable, and those parts of the body that we consider less honorable, we clothe these with greater honor, and our unrespectable parts are treated with greater respect, which our respectable parts do not need. Instead, God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the less honorable, so that there would be no division in the body, but that the members would have the same concern for each other. So if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. And I said all of that to say what he's going to say next. So now you are the body of Christ and individual members of it. So apply all those things to yourself is what he's saying. Verse 28, and God has appointed these in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers. So he starts with the ministry gifts, and then he goes into the gifts of the Spirit. Next, miracles, then gifts of healings, helping, or the helps ministry. The word really means relief and aid. You know, the helps ministry is one of the most important ministries and gifts that the Lord gives to the body. Because without the helps ministry, those others often will not be able to do what they need to do without the helps ministry being there. And I'm so grateful that I have been planted in a place that is just full of helping people. You guys together accomplish so much more than what just one or two people would on their own. Then it goes on, it says leading, so that's one, or governing, or steering is what it means. Various kinds of tongues, this is not talking languages, right? Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, do all do miracles, do all have gifts of healing, do all speak in tongues, do all interpret? Well, the implied answer is no, they don't. Not everyone's an apostle, not everyone's a teacher. Not everyone's doing the miracles. So no, the implied answer is no to all of those. Now, understand this speaking in tongues. Earlier when I read through it in the gifts of the Spirit where it says tongues and interpretation, this is tongues to the body. It's a message to people in a tongue. And then there needs to come an interpretation with that. This is not talking about your prayer language, which does not need to be interpreted, and that's over in chapter 14, which we can see. So here in 12, he is talking about a message to people in tongues. So do all do that? No. Do all interpret? No. Verse 31, but earnestly desire the greater gifts. Earnestly desire. The word, it's desire with fervency, is how one translation says it. The literal meaning is have warmth of feeling. Like, you desire it so much it affects your feelings. Right? Earnestly desire the greater gifts. Well, sometimes we're asked, what's the greater gifts? Which one? Is this the list right up above that he just gave of like, the top gifts working its way all the way down to the bottom gifts? You know, I don't think that's exactly what he had in mind here. I've been taught, and it makes a whole lot of sense to me. I'll let you judge for yourself. But it seems to me the greater or the best gift is the one that you need in the moment. Right? I mean, if you're in a car accident, you're laying out on the highway, and you're bleeding out of your ears, you do not need a tongue and interpretation right now. You don't need a word of knowledge that, yay, yay, thus saith the Lord. If you don't get help, you will surely die. That's not helpful to you. What you need is a gift of healing or miracles and special faith, right? The one that you need is the greatest gift in the moment, or the one that the situation needs, right? So when you come into those situations, don't be hung up and, oh, this list is like the hierarchy. No, no, just be available for all of them. And let the Lord work them in you and through you. In verse 31, where he says, earnestly desire the greater gifts, and I will show you an even better way. Now, there are some that would believe that and teach that the gifts of the Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, all those things have passed away, and they're no longer for the body of Christ today. That was just for the Lord jump-starting the early church because it needed all the help it could get. And so that dispensation was one that where they just, you know, it took the Lord and the Holy Spirit to get the church going. But then after he got them going, oh, they're fine on their own and they can do it on their own. See how ridiculous that begins to get? Yeah, that's not real great English, but I'm not teaching English now, am I? So they will say, they will use this verse in chapter 13, and they will say, well, I will show you an even better way. See, the gifts have passed away because chapter 13, what we call the love chapter, is what it's really about. And so therefore, what we need to do is focus on chapter 13 and not necessarily pay attention to chapter 12 because that was for them long ago. And then chapter 14 isn't for us either today. But chapter 13, the love chapter, that's the one that's for us. Well, there's a reason. If you read chapter 12 and then you read chapter 14, they're both dealing with gifts of the Spirit. But chapter 13 is not just an interruption of his thought stuck in the middle of the two. He put it there for a reason, and that reason is because there is what he is going to tell them is there's a better way to enter into the gifts than desire alone. It's by love. So he says, desire the greater gifts. Desire, you know, that'll get you partway, but I'll show you even a better way to enter into those gifts. And he goes into the love of God. See, if we walk into situations with the agape love of God, the unconditional love of God towards people and humanity in us, you know, you ever notice when you're out in public somewhere and suddenly you're drawn to a person? You notice them and you're drawn to them? That's the love of God on the inside of you drawing you to that person. He wants to do something. So pay attention to that. And as you yield to that, you'll begin to see gifts of the Spirit start to manifest. So he says, I will show you an even better way. And he begins in chapter 13. He says, if I speak human or angelic tongues, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so that I can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. So apparently you could even without love operate in some of these things, but it's fruitless. It's in verse 3, and if I give away all my possessions and if I give over my body in order to boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. And then he begins to describe the agape, the unconditional love of God that is within us. Love is paid, you know, the word says that his love has been shed abroad in our hearts. So it's already there. It's already there. It's already present. If you've made Jesus the Lord of your life, his love is in you. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy, is not boastful, is not arrogant, is not rude, is not self-seeking, is not irritable, does not keep a record of wrongs. Love finds no joy in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will come to an end. And these scriptures are used by those same people that say we're just to walk in love to say that, see, this is saying that the gifts of the Spirit have passed away. And they'll say that the perfect that it's talking about, it says when the perfect comes, the partial will come to an end. They say that the perfect is the Word of God and that we now have the written Word of God, and so that's the perfect. Well, the trouble is it doesn't hold up if you just keep reading a little bit. He says when that perfect comes, when that's going to be or what that is. And it clearly hadn't happened yet. He says, when I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put aside childish things. For now, we see only a reflection as in a mirror, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then, when I'm face to face, I will know fully as I am fully known. Is there anyone on the planet that knows fully as they are fully known? No. Why not? Well, because they're not face to face yet with the Master, with the King, with the Lord Jesus. The perfect hasn't come yet. Jesus hasn't come for His bride yet. So until that happens, all these gifts are still going to be in operation. Verse 13, now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Now remember, this is not written, was not written. This was written as a letter. It didn't have chapter and verse marks, none of that. It was a continuous letter that he had written. And so you flow from one chapter right into the next, carries one thought right into the next. So don't allow chapter 13 and 14 to make you think that he's changed subjects. In chapter 14, in verse 1, pursue love and, everyone say and. Pursue love and earnestly desire spiritual gifts. Earnestly desire spiritual gifts. What is and? It's connecting. It's a conjunction, right? It's going to add to what he said. It's not either or. Pursue love or desire spiritual gifts. It's both. Both and, right? He's saying pursue love and. So if we're going to pursue love, that means it's going to take effort from our part. Pursue means you are working hard to overtake it. You're chasing it down like a greyhound after the rabbit. Right? You're not just standing there waiting with your mouth open under the cherry tree hoping one lands in your mouth. But that's often how we position ourselves under the Lord, saying, oh, I'm here for you whenever you want to these things. No, it says pursue love and earnestly desire. Man, you're thinking about it in the morning. You're thinking about it at night. You're thinking while you're driving down the road what it would be like. I dare you to try something. Begin to imagine with your imagination, because God gave that to you, and that's an important tool to use, right? With your imagination, begin to imagine you laying hands on people and them recovering right there under your hands. Begin to imagine words of knowledge coming up. And you giving them to people, and words of wisdom, the direction that God has for their life, and them being ministered to. Imagine yourself raising someone from the dead, working of miracles. You begin to imagine those. See, the problem is we see these things so rarely that we don't see ourselves doing them. But if you'll imagine something long enough, what you're doing is you're beginning to hold the image that God wants you to walk in your mind. And when you hold that image in your mind, you will begin to move in the direction of the dominant image in your mind, be it good or bad. This is not New Age hocus pocus stuff. They like to use it because they know that law works. But who invented the law? God did. What image are you holding in your mind? That I can just barely get by and I'm down on broke alley, can't get along with my spouse street, just barely surviving, drag my tail into church, and go out half inflated, only to leak all the air out to come back next Sunday. If that's the mental image you hold, guess what? That's what you're going to perpetuate. And it's going to continue to happen that way. But begin to hold the mental image of I'm coming in charged up, full of the Lord, full of God. I'm going to minister to the people around me. You know, we've had church in a way in our culture for so long that people look to one or two people for ministry. But that's not how the Word describes how it's supposed to happen when we get together. We're to minister to each other. We're to encourage each other. We're to provoke each other to good works and to love. Right? All right, I'm not going to go into chapter 14 for tonight. And maybe that'll be later. But if you are new here or listening online, you can find a whole series on the gifts of the Spirit online on our website. that go into each gift in depth, teachings on them. And there's many, many teachings out there or on our website in that way. So stand with me if you would. Worship team, come. Before any of you go get food and eat, any day, I'm not saying tonight, I'm just saying anytime you eat, before you go and get the food and you eat it, there's something that takes place first. You begin to desire it. You feel hunger, so then you desire food. Or maybe you watched a commercial, right, that looked really good, and you're like, man, I want some of that. I'm going to that restaurant. But you saw an image, and you began to desire something. So begin holding God's images on the inside. And imagine those things. Think on those things. Meditate on those things. That's what meditating is, right? Meditating on the Word of God. And what does that look like? And allow your desire to grow. You know, the longer I would stand here and describe chocolate chip cookies to you and how they smell and how they look. And if you like crunchy ones, I'll describe them crunchy. If you like them soft and gooey, I'll describe them soft and gooey. Personally, I like them frozen. But yeah, frozen. Yeah. They're really nice and crunchy then. It really hits the spot for me. But my point is, if I describe this to you long enough and we just talk about it in depth about chocolate chip cookies, pretty soon you will begin to desire chocolate chip cookies. And the point is that you can grow your own desires. It's so easy to build desire within someone else or even within yourself. You just begin to think on something and long for it. And so the gifts of the Spirit, let's desire those like we haven't before. Let's make ourselves available. Lord, here I am. Put me in. I'm ready. I desire to play, Lord. Amen. All right, let's pray. Father, I thank you that you are good in every way, and we present ourselves to you, Lord, right here. And I ask you, Father, we want your desires in us. We want you've given us the mind of Christ. And Father, we want to get out of the way of that and think your thoughts. Imagine your ideas and have your word in our heart, meditating on it, Lord. Stir in our heart and help us to grow in earnestly desiring the best gifts and to pursue love and to walk as you walked and to be as you would have us be in this day and age, in this culture. Lord, I thank you for this. Father, we just ask your forgiveness right here and right now for the times where we have not been desiring these things like we should have, where we have just been accustomed to just going along as normal. And Lord, we don't want to go that way anymore, but we want to walk fully in all that you have for us as the salt and light of the earth that you've created us to be. And I thank you for this in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. You ought to see yourselves right now. You're just glowing. Great tonight. Hallelujah. Shall we worship together? Shall we praise God? Hallelujah.
Glad that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That the same God that split the Red Sea is the same God that has relationship with you. There's nothing too hard for Him. Given one of you something? I think, okay, Alex, come. Is there a microphone over here?
Everybody hear me? We're worshiping the Lord, really put on my heart. And there's people hurting, there's people wondering why, there's people don't know where to go, and you know, the Lord said in Matthew, you know, cast all your burdens on me, my burden is like my yoke is easy. And just, you know, if you look to Him in your heart and in your mind, He is there, you know, in the midst, He is there. Don't give up, just keep strong and keep looking to Him.
Amen. Keep strong, keep looking to Him.
So Alex, I had heard that as well from the Lord. It was a little different. He had said to me, I do want to tell people tonight that everything's going to be okay. But then the other one that the Lord had impressed on me was in the gospel accounts, right in the beginning, before Jesus went out into His 3 years of ministry, the Father from heaven had spoke to Him and to others around Him and had said, this is my beloved Son. And later on in the Gospels, during His ministry, the Father had spoken to Jesus again on the Mount of Transfiguration. It was another experience in which the Father said the same thing. This is my beloved Son. Of course, speaking about Jesus. And so the Father was encouraging me. Many of you have had this experience early on. When I first received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, like the first thing that I knew that I knew that I knew that I heard from the Lord, it was a moment, it was a time where I was with the Lord and was listening, and He gave me that prophetic word. It's a spiritual gift. The prophetic word, Michael, I love you. Now, how many of you have had that experience? Yeah. So that was the prophetic spiritual gift that that God was encouraging me is, let's take a moment here, whether you're new in many things or whether you've been around for a number of years, let's all either affirm or confirm with the Father again, and let's let Him speak that prophetic word over us. So I just want us to take a moment here to receive from our Father in heaven that word, and so we're listening for Him to say our name, our very own name, and that He loves us. Now, of course, if you don't hear it, of course, it's not a big deal, but I think we're all believing that in this moment we'll hear from the Father. Okay? So let's just take a moment to hear from Him.
Thank you, Michael.
So this evening, I debated whether I was coming. I had a busy, busy day, as many of you did. I was tired. I didn't sleep well last night. And I thought, maybe I won't come. My wife was in the same boat, and she didn't come. And I wish she would have. Because on the way here, the Lord showed me that there was something here that I needed to hear. There was something here that was going to encourage me. However, almost as I got here, He said, you're going to be hearing about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we did tonight. I was like, wow, I was almost in tears sitting there. But then, to confirm all of that, our pastor used chocolate chip cookies as an example at the end of his sermon. and I really like chocolate chip cookies. And on top of all of that, as I, and Barry can confirm this, as I was walking in this evening, I said, I smell chocolate chip cookies. Do you, Barry? And I got Barry in on it, too. And we decided that what we would like to do sometime is have chocolate chip cookies for communion. I don't know if that's possible. But still, now the Lord has confirmed that that's part of this.
Awesome. Go ahead and be seated for a moment. There's a few things that I want to go over before we dismiss. Thank you for sharing, each one of you. And let me just say this again, because sometimes we forget it. Look, during our times of worship, or maybe even during the sermon, you feel like the Lord gives you something that you ought to share with everything. Not everything the Lord gives you is to be shared, right? Sometimes it's just for you to know or for you to pray through. Just because you get a divine knowing about something doesn't mean you're supposed to tell. Right? The next question is always, should I share this? And if it's yes, with whom, Lord? With everyone. Okay, there you go. That's how you walk through that progression. So while we're singing and while we're worshiping, and many times that's when the Lord will speak to people. And so during that time, be sensitive, be listening. And if you feel like the Lord's giving you something to share, be bold, come up, let me know, and we'll make space for that. And are you saying you feel like you have something to share? Okay. And if you get it wrong, you know, that's okay too. We're here to walk with you. We're not going to, there's no stones in here to throw stones or anything like that. And if a correction or a little change, because we see things through our eyes, and many times it's not, we don't see clearly, like Paul said. And so that's why we have each other, that we can check in with the Spirit and say, okay, what is the Lord saying about that? It helps when we turn it on.
This is to bring people to God. He has been speaking this to me. I've heard it on the radio. I keep hearing it over and over again. It seems like a running theme. We are never too far gone. Never. If you know family members that have done things that are not quite righteous, or don't follow the Lord, it doesn't matter. Let them see God through you. They are never too far gone. I think some people are afraid to come to the Lord because they're going to be judged, because if we judge, whoa, you know. So if you know people out there, just pray for them. Let them see God through you. Non-judgmental. We are never too far gone. We're never too far gone. God's grace is bigger than what we've done.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for sharing. Well, happy Mother's Day, all of you. You're the mothers in this house. Actually, I'm just going to pray over you for a moment. Father, I lift up every mother here, every mother that's represented by Church of the Word, or any mother listening online. Lord, I ask you to encounter them right now. Father, in a way that's unique to them, special to them, I ask you to give them even more grace to walk as a mother like you have developed and designed them to be. And I thank you for this. Lord, I ask for blessing. I ask for rest. I ask for refreshment for our mothers. Lord, that they would become even stronger in you, and that supernaturally, Lord, you would cause them to continually walk in victory in every way. In Jesus' name, and amen. Without mothers, the whole world would just go to pot. I just look at my household, and I know without the mother in our household, it wouldn't be good. And I think it's probably that way around most of the world. Tomorrow, we will be going to Richmond, and there's a whole contingent of us going. I believe the Schumann family will be there, the Lavanese family, our family, John will be there, Am I missing anyone? Raise your hand real high if you're going to. All right, let's take a moment and pray. Brian Wills is going to be ministering the word, so I don't have to do that, but we're going to be there and be a part of what God's doing. So let's just pray for that tomorrow. Lord, I just lift up right now to You our meeting in Richmond tomorrow, and I'm asking You, Lord, that Your will would be accomplished. Have Your way there, Lord. Cause Your word to come forth from Brian. Give him the ability to explain Your word thoroughly. Lord, by divine revelation and understanding, minister to Your people. Father, we go with an expectation that You will also minister through each one of us. And we look to You and Your grace to do these things. I ask You, Lord, for safety on our trip down there, on everyone's trip back home. And I thank You for this in Jesus' name. And amen. Remember that Tuesday is the primary election day. So go out and do the responsibility that you have is to vote. And we have, let's be in prayer and just that God would have His way, that the right ones will come through, and that if there's any kind of fraud, that it will be exposed and revealed, and that we would once again have integrity in our elections. And then last but not least, I want to give you an update on our rental situation here as well as with the Emerald Building that many of you know that we're believing God for. And so here at this place at Faith Church, you know, they opened their doors to us and they've just been absolutely amazing to work with. They have been such a great blessing to us. They have, finally they came and said, well, maybe we could just do a flat monthly rental fee rather than a per use thing and make it easier for us. And so we reached an agreement with them. Well, they made an offer to us that was just amazing. It was $500 less than what we were paying on a per-use basis per month. And they said, you know, you have use of the entire building, and you just have to schedule it on the calendar so that we can work with all the other churches that are meeting here. And so, in all their kindness, oh, and they didn't even charge us for the month of April. So, they've just been a major blessing to us. And so, one of the ways that I want to make sure that we are walking honorably in this building and honoring, you know, their things, their possessions, their building, and not destroying things. Let's, you know, keep our kids reined in and et cetera, et cetera. Right? And then on the Emerald Building, I have, well, I'll tell you an interesting something that happened first. I was praying and asking the Lord for a connection on the inside. And I specifically prayed, I said, Lord, lead me to someone that knows someone from the inside so that we could have a connection and have favor there and possibly in that way be able to come into this building, you know, in God's way, whether He puts money into our hands so we can pay for it or whether, you know, however that happens. It doesn't matter to me. And that was my prayer. I didn't say it to anyone. I wasn't asking people if they had a connection, not a single person. And we were at the Free PA meeting, and we had this gentleman comes in that used to be a missionary, and he just come. I see him every meeting, and he come over, and he said, hey, he said, how's your church doing? I said, well, we're doing real well. We just moved locations. Oh, well, where'd you move? Well, we moved over to Faith Church. Oh, you mean over there on Old Philly Pike? Yeah. Well, I used to attend that church, and the pastor used to be one of my students because he was a teacher. And, oh, that's cool, you know. And then it came up on the inside, just real strong on the inside. Tell him what you're believing for, the building you're believing for. And I've not ever had this prompting to tell anybody else the building we're believing for, so okay. So I said, but you know, we're just renting there. That's not our permanent home. And what we're believing God for another building. It's called the Emerald Building. He goes, oh, you mean the one over on Oregon Pike? I'm like, yeah, that one. He goes, well, you know, come to think of it, I sit on the board of this other organization, and with me on that board is someone who is with the organization that owns the Emerald Foundation. Let me go talk to him and see if he has someone on the inside that you guys should talk to. And I didn't ask for that, none of it. Just, you know, I prayed that, and then he said, so I'm believing something will come out of that. But then there's more. The realtor, she calls me, and she says someone had made an offer on it, so she was giving me an update on that, and said that it's a written letter of intent, and that they want to use the building for a drug rehab facility, but it needs to be rezoned to permit that, and that particular township isn't real great with rezoning things. And on top of that, she said, normally, while that's a good thing, drug rehabilitation, often people have the not-in-my-backyard mentality, so it's not likely to happen. And she says, so is there anything that you guys, you know, have you talked? Are you ready to make an offer? I said, no, but I have a question. Would the owners of the building, would their realtor, if you talk to them, would they consider any kind of creative financing? You know, owner financing, or because they're a foundation and we're a church, maybe they're just willing to take an extreme amount less than they're asking for it. You know, ask them if there's any possibilities there. So she called me back a little bit later and she says, yeah. She says that realtor said, absolutely, they would encourage those conversations. They would love to owner finance it or do a lease purchase or something. And so all I'm saying is there is already favor on the table there before us. So let's continue to believe God, right? And just be sensitive to Him, and hallelujah, we're going to see miracles happen. Amen. All right, one way we love God here is we love on each other. So as you go, take the time to love on each other, to check in with each other.
Good evening, everyone. Praise the Lord. Oh, it's great to see you all, your smiling, loving faces. It's always a blessing to come together as family, isn't it? Praise the Lord. I'd like to encourage you tonight in our worship time together from Psalms 24. The first verse says, "The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein." Do you know that Jesus has a sovereign right to all the earth? He does. Do you know that God created you? Amen. And that the Lord is going to come back and claim His planet and His people who are called by His name. And I think soon, glory to God. Praise the Lord. And then when you think about it, well, I think about a lot of things, but in verse 7 through 10, it talks about the King of Glory. And who is the King of Glory? And the King of Glory, of course, is the Lord. In Revelations 3:20, He says, "I stand at the door and knock. And whoever hears My voice and opens the door, I will come in and sup with him, and he with Me." It speaks of relationship. And think about the Creator of all things asking for an invitation of you to enter into relationship with Him. It's incredible when you think about it. He says in verse 7, "Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in." Who is this King of Glory? He is the Lord, strong and mighty. Strong in battle. He battles for you. Jesus stands at the right hand of the Father and intercedes for you. Lift up your heads, O gates. Lift up everlasting doors. See, that's our part, is to open the doors, open the gates, and allow the completeness of the Lord to come in and surrender. You know, we surrender our life to Him completely, but we have to invite Him to come in. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift up everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Again, it's an incredible invitation that the King of glory invites each and every one. And then to proclaim this beautiful good news to everyone and anyone that you know. Amen. Wow. Do you ever just feel wowed by the Lord? We'll enter into this wowness of the Lord. You are the body of Christ. You are His children. Somebody asked me today, well, who are you? And I said, I'm a child of the living God. Who are you? How exciting to know that you're in the kingdom of God, that you said yes to His invitation. There's nothing more precious in all the earth and in your life. So let's stand up together. And let us invite the King of glory to come fully into our hearts tonight. And we just thank Him for the anointing of God on the Word. We thank Him for the fire of the Holy Spirit in this place. We thank You for open doors, open gates, that we allow the King of glory to enter tonight, not holding anything back. And Father, we just thank You for surrendered hearts this evening. As we are the body of Christ, we are the children of the Most High God. And we thank You in advance for all that You're going to do. Amen.
Take a moment and think of two things that you're grateful that He's done for you. Two things. Everyone has at least two things that you can be grateful that the Lord has done for you. I'm going to tell you my two. Number one is that He has redeemed me from the pit of hell. Right? Given me eternal life, relationship with the Father. And the Father loves me enough to call me His own. That's pretty epic.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
And number two, that He would surround me with His children that are just awesome too. You. So why don't you tell your neighbor right now one thing you're thankful for? Don't go anywhere. We're not dismissing. Just tell your neighbor. Alright, if I could have you be seated. We have another one of those special moments where we get to dedicate some children to the Lord. And so I would invite Jacob and Nicole, bring your family up. Now, so many good things have been happening for this family. You know, they are blessed of the Lord. Jacob recently has made Jesus the Lord of his life. He's going to be baptized soon. And they've got two wonderful blessings from the Lord that they hold in their arms. Hallelujah. I want to read to you Psalms 128, and I'll read all of it. And this, I'm reading it to you. Everyone else is just listening in, all right? So it says, how happy is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. You will surely eat what your hands have worked for. You will be happy, and it will go well for you. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house, your children like young olive trees around your table. In this very way, the man who fears the Lord will be blessed. May the Lord bless you from Zion so that you will see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life and will see your children's children. Peace be with Israel. So I just proclaim that as a declaration and a statement of faith over you guys and your family, all the way down to your children's children. And that seems like a faraway day, but it'll come soon enough. I'm going to ask a series of questions, and you can respond, we do, to them. And then I will ask you guys, the congregation, a question or two, and you can just shout out, we do. And this is what we're doing right now is simply dedicating the little ones to the Lord. And we know that the day is going to come where they'll have to make the choice for themselves to walk with the Lord, to continue that. But we know that coming from a godly family, that they're in that covenant with God right now in this moment. And we want to recognize that and recognize the gift of life that God has given to them. So we're not infant baptism. This isn't their guarantee to heaven, right? But this is setting them apart for special service for the Lord until such a time that they can make that choice for themselves. Is that good?
Yeah.
All right. Jacob and Nicole, do you desire that your children will grow in the fear and admonition of the Lord? And do you promise to provide for Lillian and Holland a Christian home where God is honored and His Word is taught? Do you pledge yourselves to live in such a way that your words and actions will commend Jesus and His church to Lillian and Holland? Now, which one's Lillian and which one's Holland?
Lillian.
Holland. Awesome. Do you promise that you will be a spiritual guide for Lillian and Holland, praying and watching for the day when they will be ready to receive Christ as personal Lord and Savior? All right, people of God in this house, do you, the people of God in this church, covenant with these parents to provide a loving church home for both Lillian and Holland?
We do.
We do. Do you promise to continue teaching the Bible in this church so that Lillian and Holland will never lack hearing the truth of God's Word? We do. Hallelujah. Well, stretch out your hands to them and let's pray over them. Father, we thank You so much for the gift of life and for the precious little ones that You have given to Jacob and Nicole. And we just present them to You, Lord. We dedicate them and set them apart for You, for Your service. Lord, I ask that Your will would be accomplished in their life and that You would give Jacob and Nicole the wisdom to raise them up in the way that they should go, help them see into the future even and see what You have called these little ones to. And I thank You, Lord, that Your angels are set as guards around them to protect them all the days of their life. In Jesus' name and amen. Is there anything that you guys wanted to say? You don't have to. I'm just saying if you wanted to. No. Okay. Wonderful. Excited. Awesome. Well, you may be seated. Are you ready?
Yes.
Awesome. Some smiling faces, yes. Some frowning faces, yes, still. All right, let's send the children to their classes and the teachers. Are we keeping in the...
Oh, that was it. Keeping in the juniors.
Juniors are staying in tonight, but the other classes are going out. While they are going, take a moment and fellowship with each other, check in with each other, make sure you still know each other's names.
Well, good evening to you all again. It's good to see you all here at Church of the Word International. If you're here for the very first time, we'd like to welcome you. Can you just raise your hand if this is your first time at Church of the Word so we can just acknowledge you, clap for you a little bit? All right, I don't see any hands. Well, we will prepare to return the tithe to the Lord, so if you need an envelope for your cash giving, you can raise your hand and ushers will bring one to you. If you're giving by check, you can make it out to CWI, and if you're giving by credit card, please fill out all of the blanks. And as we return the tithe, we're returning it from a heart of love, amen? A heart of love and just believing that God is our source. It's an outward demonstration that I believe He's my source, and it's important that we keep ourselves in remembrance of this truth often. It's important to keep ourselves remembering we are not our sustainer. We're looking to someone bigger than us. But you know, He's very interested in our increase. He's interested in us prospering. So turn to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. He wants us to have more than just enough. He doesn't want to see us just barely scraping along, pinching pennies, and so to speak. He wants to see us flourish. And we may not realize this, or maybe some of us do, but you know, we are more responsible for our success in life and our prosperity in life than maybe what we care to admit. Because He set up laws that govern prosperity in His Word. So He set it up. It's our choice to align with it or not. He doesn't force us. He doesn't force us to do anything. He says, Here it is. I've done this for you. Now you can come in, participate with, agree with it in faith, or not. He doesn't force it on us. And so some people think, well, you know, if God wants me rich, He'll make me rich. If He wants me poor, then I'll be poor. Well, no. They think there's nothing I can do about that. It's either my lot in life or it isn't. Well, look here what it says in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 says something we can do about it. Says, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. So there's one thing we can do about our situation. You want to reap generously? That's abundance coming in. There's something I can do about it. You know, if He wanted us to be poor, why would He give us scriptures like this? Why would He say, hey, here's how you prosper? And give us countless scriptures like this. Now look down at verse 10. It says, now He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Back up to verse 10. It says, now He, who's that? Who's the He? That's the Lord. So the Lord says, who supplies seed to the sower. See, He supplies seed to the sower, not the hoarder. So He's interested in getting some seed, some increase over to us. Amen? But that's only a certain individual. See, which individual am I? If I'm a hoarder, is He obligated to give me seed? No. He says He supplies seed to the sower. Oh, that's some responsibility on me. Oh, so I have something to do with this then. Now, also notice that seed is a portion of a crop, right? It's not the whole harvest. Now, I remember my dad, he used to be a grain farmer, and he would, from every crop, he'd save back the best seed, and he'd store it in like a hopper wagon and things, and that was the seed for the next year's crop. But that was seed. That wasn't the whole crop. It was seed from that crop to then produce more. He may or may not have had some kids who like to throw that seed out. You know, it sounds so nice on the tin of a barn, you know, if you just go whoo like that. But you know, seed is not, it's a portion. It's not the whole. So He says here He's going to supply your seed and increase your store of seed. Do you have a store of seed? Do you have a, you know, we like to have an account we call our God account where we put our store of seed. so that we're prepared when something bigger comes along. And then, you know, we give as the Lord moves in our heart to give. But, you know, you should have a storehouse of seed. So you can see here a couple of things. Number one, God wants you to have seed, all right? And he wants you to be enriched in every way, it says. He wants to enlarge your harvest. Oh, he wants my... See, sowing, that's a generous act. It's referenced here. It says that he'll enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. So sowing, being a sower, is referenced as a righteous act, and he wants to enlarge your harvest of your righteousness. And again, that's a part I have to play. You can be generous no matter how big or how small your bank account is. It doesn't have, it's not, you know, I can be generous with $5. And I can remember a time when, for us, giving $5 was very generous. Thank God that wouldn't be generous for me now. But there was a time where it was. And $1 could be generous for you. You know, but you can be generous at any level. But this is what the Word of God says. He wants to increase us. He wants to increase our supply. He wants to increase our harvest. He wants to increase your seed. Increase, increase. Can you hear that? This is the Lord saying this. So it'll work for you. It'll work for you because the Word is true. And we're reading the Word of God. Amen? So let's believe it. That's, you know, another part, another responsibility we have is to believe the Word. And believe it's going to work for me, just like he said. Amen? Well, let's take a hold of our tithes and our offerings, and let's present that to the Lord. Father, we're so grateful tonight to be your children. We're grateful for the laws that you put in place that govern our success in life, that govern our prosperity. And Lord, I'm just so grateful that you want to see us flourish, that you want to see us well supplied so that we can be generous and flourish and give into every good work. And so we thank you for how you've increased us. We thank you for the seed that you put in our hands, and we purpose to use it for your kingdom, to use it as you direct, and we will flourish and we will increase as we obey you and be led by the Holy Ghost in our money and in our finances. We just thank you, Lord, for meeting every need that we have. I thank you for answers. I thank you for provision. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And the ushers can pass the baskets, and the people will give to the Lord. You know, I say that often, and that's intentional. I want you to think about that you're not giving to people, you're giving to him. Well, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers in the house. I'm sure you all have plans with family, and I pray you have a happy and just a great Mother's Day. It's good to be a mother, amen? Vacation Bible School's coming up, and I know we had sign-ups last week, but we also have sign-ups available this week, so you can pre-register your kids. You can sign up to be a volunteer, and it does take many hands to make something like this go. So please do sign up and participate in that ministry. Another thing right alongside of that, well, I guess it is, but it's in the lobby, is time to update our CWI records. So we've got an information paper out there. I know many of you have done this before, where you filled out your name and your address and phone number and things, but it's time to update those. Just recently we ran into it where some cards were sent out and they got returned because somebody had moved. So even if you've done it all before, please do fill out one of those information cards tonight and hand it back to Deb. If it goes home with you, it probably won't come back. So we would appreciate that.